a couple go down in the water last Sunday, and this morning we had couples go down that Brother Butch found just going and knocking doors. By the way, let's stop for a minute. Brother Butch is preaching at a Baptist church tonight. Let's stop and pray that the Holy Ghost will move and fall in that place tonight. Why don't you pray for him right now? God, let your Holy Ghost move in that place. Anoint him, oh God. Anoint the messenger. Anoint the house. Run in that place like a river tonight, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let there be an outpour. Let there be a shaking in that place tonight, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Tonight we're going to continue in a discussion about worship that we started last Sunday night. And it is a broad, broad subject, and we won't nearly cover it all by dealing with it tonight. But I wanted to take another run at it tonight. And this is a church that has a revelation of worship, and you are a people that love to worship. But it is like anything else in the Word of God. We have to handle it over and over again and make the impressions deeper and deeper. And it creates a more solid identity concerning who we are in the kingdom of God. But tonight, let's read a scripture, Malachi 1 and verse 11. We are the fulfillment of this tonight. Malachi 1 and 11. For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. This is a Hebrew prophet speaking to a Hebrew nation. But he said there's going to be revival. And it gets truncated at Abraham. And it is with Abraham, God's focus on a man. And then God's focus on a family. And then God's focus on a nation, the 12 tribes of Israel. They become a great nation, and God's plan is for them. But God's plan from the very beginning and always has been, and you can see this clearly in the scripture, has been a universal plan. It's always been a worldwide plan. And he spoke of his temple in Jerusalem. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And so it has always been the plan of God to touch everybody in the earth. He told Abraham when he chose him, he said, I'm going to bless you so that in you all the families of the earth can be blessed. And so it's always been the focus of God. And now Malachi is speaking to us here. And God, through Malachi, is saying there's going to come a day that from the time the sun comes up in the morning till it goes down in the evening, all over the world, wherever people are, there's going to be people that are Gentiles that are going to hold his name in greatness. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name. Incense is a biblical type of worship and prayer going up into the presence of God. And he said, these Gentiles are going to get it. They're going to venerate my name, and they're going to be worshiping me all over the world. Do you know that's happening today? The music started when the sun rose on the rim of the Pacific this morning. The music started in China. It started in Japan. It's in Taiwan. It's in India. It's in Russia. It's all over the world. Down in the Philippines, they have the most outrageous worship you've ever seen in your life. Till you get over to Mexico and Central America and South America. And then some places in America actually have some pretty decent worship. But it's all over the world today. Now our brethren on the far side, the Pacific Rim, they've gone down for the night. They're tucked away in their beds. And here we are. We've gathered to worship him once more. He said, in those places among the Gentiles, my name will be great, and incense shall be offered unto my name, a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen. That's what my mama used to always call us before she beat us. Bunch of heathen! And she would lay into us with a belt. But it just means people that don't know God. God doesn't hate them. God loves them. And the only, the cure that they need is the knowledge of the name of God and the baptism of his spirit. And so he said, my name's going to be great. How many of you are and were heathen before God found you? And yeah, well, see, here we are, the fulfillment of the word of God. We are Gentiles. We are worshiping. We're offering up incense. His name is great. There's no place you're going to find the veneration of the name any greater than in an apostolic church. And we are the fulfillment of this prophecy tonight. We're going to continue in a discussion of worship. As you're seated tonight, give him thanks and praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We bless you, Lord God, and we lift you up. We magnify you. We magnify you. We bless your name. Now, that was pretty good, and you've worshiped God pretty well here tonight. But let's give him high praise for his word tonight. You need to open your voice. You need to loose your voice, and you need to praise and magnify God, because his word is forever settled in the heavens. And we thank you, Lord God, and we magnify you, Lord God. Praise God. Now, we can't revisit everything from last Sunday night. And so many, and again, many of these themes are things that teachers in this church could easily teach this lesson. And many of you that have been around this culture for a long period of time and around the Word of God, you could easily teach this lesson, because this is a compilation of worship features throughout the Word of God. But let's pick back up where we were winding down last Sunday night. Worship affects the social dynamic. They know this in business. They call it the esprit de corps. And they know it in basketball. They call it the sixth man. In football, they call it the 12th man. But they know and they understand that if you really want to succeed in somebody else's turf, you need to take the crowd out of the game. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do here tonight. He wants to take you out of the game. He wants to let some hungry heart come in the house, but you're too bound up in your trouble and too worried about your problems and too vexed with all the pressure in your life to worship and praise God and create an atmosphere. But I want you to know that it affects the social dynamic. And so we've got an obligation to God, because he's good, to praise him. We've got an obligation to the church of the living God to create an atmosphere, to be a help and to be a strength. When you come to this house, you need to bring your fire with you, and you need to add it to the fire that's in the house. We don't come to church to get charged up. We come to church to be a blessing. We don't come to church to get a blessing. We come to church to be a blessing. My God, you need to cross over in that tonight. Clap your hands right now. Lift a voice of praise unto God. Praise God. Fear is contagious. Courage is contagious. And worship is contagious. And it's a connectivity in the spirit. We are not simply animal extensions of some freak accident that happened in a bog somewhere in the early days of man's evolutionary journey. That's not what we are at all. We are essentially spiritual beings, and there is a spiritual connectivity that the world cannot deny, and it's real out there where they meet, and it's real in here where we meet. The Holy Ghost is real. And there are some questions I have. How are we communicating these things through the air, and how are we wired together? But our psyche, our mind, our soul flows up out of a personal spiritual reality. And when we come in with our minds right and our minds stayed on Jesus, and we come with the Word of God buried deep in our heart, and we begin to offer up biblical praise unto God, something begins to flow. The biblical metaphor is, the prophet said, I saw waters running out from under the altar, and it flowed out of the temple and out into the streets. And he said, as I watched that, and I want you to know that there is no mistaking that. That is the Spirit of God flowing out of the house of God. It's coming from the place where God meets man, and it's flowing out into the city. And he said, I watched it. It began to grow. It was waters over the ankles, and then it was to the knees, and then it was thigh deep, and then it was waters that you could swim in, and then it was waters that you could not pass over. I want you to understand, when you're praising and worshiping tonight, you are a visitation in your city and in your world of a river of living water. God put the well down inside of you. You are a well springing up into everlasting life. He told the woman at the well, he said, it will be in you, a well springing up into everlasting life. And when you're worshiping, and when you're praising, and when you're praying, the Spirit of God begins to flow out of you. And it will flow into the city, and it will grow. My God, it needs to be a river that they can't cross over, that they've got to do something about. Let there be so much Holy Ghost in this city that they've got to do something about it. What's really funny is I prepared this for a symposium on worship, and it was supposed to be totally scholarly and academic. But I couldn't do it. It was like fire shut up in my bones. And so There were about 15 people in that room that were either PhDs or in pursuit of their PhD, and they were dancing and they were shouting and they were running, and it was thoroughly not academic. Because you have to deal with this. There are many, many things in the kingdom of God that are cognitive, and you have to come in with your brain, and this is an intelligent faith. I see Israel in the land. It is beyond plausible explanation. It is a miracle of the prophecy of God. I understand that with my intellect tonight, and it staggers me, and it provokes me, and it makes me want to embrace the whole of the word of God. But there are other things that are out there in the ether that we know about, that move in the spirit, that come from nowhere. He said it's like the wind. You can't see it. You can hear the sound of it. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. The moving of the spirit is just like that. But we apostolics, we know about the moving of the spirit. And I know what dead church is. And I know what live church is. And I know what a moving of God is. And I know when there's no move of God. And I'll tell you, we don't want to live in a spiritual desert. We don't want to live in a spiritual vacuum. We want the Spirit of God to have his way. My God, clap your hands. Make some noise. Stir up something. Let the water flow into the city. Now, there's a transfer of the Spirit in the social dynamic from unit to unit, from person to person, house to house. There is indisputably a spiritual connectivity. It's hard to weigh and measure. You can't necessarily describe it in the natural. In general, we understand, we see the instances of the laying on of hands, and powerful things like promises and covenants and anointings come from the laying on of hands, and the pouring on, the anointing with oil, the hand of Abraham on Isaac and the hand of Isaac on Jacob, and then the anointing of the head of King Saul, and the anointing of the head of King David, and powerful things begin to move in their lives. Saul begins to prophesy after that oil is poured on his head. Something happened to that man. He was filled with the Spirit of God. You got a Pentecostal theology emerging there in that Old Testament situation. And then David becomes more than just a shepherd boy. He becomes the psalmist of Israel, the king of Israel. He becomes a giant killer. He becomes mighty in the Holy Ghost after that old man with his gnarled prophet's hand poured oil on his head. And there is a transfer of the Spirit. Let me stop for just 1 second and tell you, you want to be where the Spirit is flowing. You want to be around those from whom the Spirit is flowing. You want a transfer of the Spirit of God upon you. And I'll tell you this, you can hang out at the juke joint tonight and that Spirit will get on you. You can hang out at the ball field tonight and that Spirit will get on you. You can hang out in a pornography site and that Spirit will get on you. You can hang out in a lot of places and there's a lot of spirits that can get on you. But I want to be where the Spirit of God is moving, and I want his Spirit to get on me and in me and through me. So, specific to worship tonight, let's talk about the law of atmospheric transfer. There is a law, a rule in the Spirit that it can get in the atmosphere and it can communicate. Sometimes we talk about it in a colloquial way. We say, make it cloud up and rain in the house of God, because we see scripture that tells us what goes up determines what comes down. We see it in the natural hydrologic cycle, but it is also a feature of the moving of the Spirit of God. What goes up determines what comes down. I was raised in a dead white Southern Baptist church. Nothing went up. Nothing came down. I won't go any further there, but I was so glad to be delivered. I made my escape. The law of atmospheric transfer. We're reading in 1 Samuel 19, beginning in verse 18. David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. Saul was trying to kill him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt at Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. He's going to take him. He's going to imprison him. He's going to kill him. And when they saw the companies of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also also prophesied. These were men that were on a mission for a wicked, backslidden king. These were men who were on a mission that had nothing to do with the will or the purpose of God. They were just pawns in the hand of a despot named Saul. And when they came into the presence of God, something started getting on them, and they just fell out, and they all began to prophesy. That is an Old Testament experience that is synonymous with what happened to you when the Holy Ghost came on you and you began to speak in tongues. It happened throughout the Old Testament, but only in a very selective few places, and it was called prophecy there, and it was the Spirit of God speaking through them. These men, these messengers, now listen, they didn't just send two or three guys, because David had been sent out by Saul. He wanted to marry Saul's daughter, and Saul said, yeah, you can, if you go kill 200 Philistines and bring me back their foreskins. And he did. He went out and he butchered and he mutilated 200 men and brought the evidence back to Saul. David was a bad shepherd boy. You don't send two or three guys after a guy that just wiped up 200 Philistines and killed their hero Goliath. I don't know how many of them there were, maybe 50 or so, but they made their way out there, and all of them were moved on by the Spirit of God, and they all began to prophesy. And Saul sent another group just like that group, and the Spirit of God came on them, and it was at a place like the school of the prophets. David was there, and he was prophesying, and Samuel was there standing over the other school of prophets, the young aspiring prophets, and they were all prophesying. The Spirit of God was moving through them, and they were all speaking as they were motivated by the Spirit of God, and it created such a conductivity in the atmosphere that anybody that walked into that cloud of Holy Ghost just got pulled into it. Now, I want you to know, I've seen that in the house of God, and you've seen that in the house of God. It's a real thing, but it doesn't happen in a place where nobody's prophesying and nobody's experiencing a move of the Spirit. It happens in a place where everybody's worshiping and everybody's praising and everybody's magnifying God. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm talking about people that don't have any intention at all of living for God, coming under the power of God. We have a lot of people come into this church and they get the Holy Ghost and they turn and they walk away, and Monday morning they don't know why they did what they did. They don't know exactly what they did. They just know they don't want to ever be involved in anything like that again in their life because they lost control in the presence of God. And that's all right. There's all kind of people coming in to the house of God, but there's a hungry heart that's coming, and there's a thirsty soul that's coming, and there's somebody that's coming looking for the good things of God. And we want to set the table, and we want to prepare the atmosphere, and we want them to be able to navigate their way into the presence of God. And when they do, we want them to get the Holy Ghost. We want the Holy Ghost to be poured out on them. It takes a creating of an atmosphere. You create an atmosphere for transfer when you worship and praise God. So Saul, after having sent three groups of messengers, he goes down to Ramah at Naoth himself. And when Saul comes in, and he went thither, verse 23, to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied till he came. It hit Saul down the road somewhere. It started moving on him while he was on his way to church. And he started prophesying as he was making his way down the road to church. And Saul didn't travel by himself. He was a king. There was an entourage with him. I don't know what they were thinking, but it's tantamount to some family driving over here to church one Sunday morning, a sinner family, and the sinner daddy's driving the car, and he gets the Holy Ghost, and he's talking in tongues on the way to church, not because he got to church and got in an altar. I'm just telling you what's possible. If you create an atmosphere, it can hit them as they're coming down the road. It can move on somebody in their home tonight. There's a Larry Booker in this city, and I want the Holy Ghost to move on him. There's a Sam Emery in this city, and I want the Holy Ghost to move on him. Well, praise God. Praise God. An atmosphere can be created that ushers others into the presence of God, and often they are overwhelmed. And that's exactly our devious plan. We're so glad you're here tonight. We're so glad you've come. If you're a visitor here tonight, we're so glad you're in the house tonight. We're just, come on in. Come on, have a seat. Sit anywhere you like. I told Robert a while ago, you can stand on the back wall. You can sit on the front. You can come sit on the altar if you want. It doesn't matter. There's not a safe place in this house from the Holy Ghost when it starts moving. You can't hide from the Holy Ghost. Only thing you can do is pack your bags and get on out and get on down the road and get involved with some spirits that you feel comfortable with. But if you're in this house, this is our turf. This is God's turf. This is the domain of the Holy Ghost. And God wants to fill every empty vessel with the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout about that just a little bit. God wants to fill everybody with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. There's the law of inadvertent contact. There's the law of you can just bump into somebody, and if you're filled up and running over, it gets on them. I have felt God's people walking through Walmart before. It's like, where are they? Ah, they're here somewhere. I can feel you. I can't feel you if you're all carnal and broken up and preoccupied with stupid things. But if you've got your mind on him, and you're walking in that holy, I can feel you. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20. There's a law that tells me that we can get so much Holy Ghost going on in us that we can just bump into people and they can be transformed. 2 Kings 13:20, Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. It was the enemy, this band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. They're trying to bury this guy, one of their compatriots, but they see the enemy coming, and they don't have time to get the burial done. And so they just throw him into an open pit over here. They don't know, but it's the sepulcher of Elijah. And behold, and when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Now, I'm just going to tell you what happened there. That old man had so much of the Holy Ghost in him that when his flesh left the bone, and all it was bone in the sepulcher, those bones were irradiated with the presence and the power and the anointing of God. You can spend so much time. I've been talking to you about going in and out of the presence of God, spending time of intimacy with God, letting the Spirit of God wash over you and fill you and flow through you. You can get so much of that going on that when you walk down the halls at your school, it touches everybody there. You can get so much of that going on that when you're walking down the hall at school, it makes the lockers rattle. It makes everybody's. Do they still use? They don't still use locks, combination locks. You can get so much Holy Ghost, it'll make those locks start going. You think I'm yanking your chain? I'm telling you, they threw a dead body in a hole. It touched that prophet. He got up. Those boys were running before from the enemy, but when they saw their friend come out of that hole, they were really running. I'm telling you, you can get enough Holy Ghost that when you touch somebody, something goes off. Something is transferred. Something begins to move. You only find that in prayer and in worship. By God, I want to have that flowing in my life. I've got some people that I can't touch. I've got some people that I can't convince. But if I can get the Spirit of God to flow on them and touch them, I want it in my life so when I shake their hands, I want it in their life so when I lay my hand on their shoulder and I'm talking to them about a Bible study or whatever, when I touch them, I want it to go pow. They won't know exactly what it is, but it's Holy Ghost. It's not me. It's Holy Ghost flowing in them. It's like when you're in church and somebody just lets out a shout and it's like something seismic goes up. Ah! All through the crowd, and it happens over here, but you feel it over there. Is there an amen in the house? Does that happen? I've heard stories about first time visitors being in the house of God, and somebody's running the aisles, and they said, when that wind of that runner went by me, something got on me. Something began to move on me. You know what it was? It had a contrail of Holy Ghost when they were running, and it got on every visitor they passed by. Now, this is purely anecdotal. You can't weigh or measure this, but there's a lot of what we do that's not satisfying to the cognitive. It's effective. and it's real. Praise God. Tell me what motivates contagious travail. Tell me what begins to move in a house when some dear sister, some dear brother begins to cry out from the depth of his or her heart, and it begins to spread all over the house. There's things that are contagious in the spirit. Fear is contagious. Courage is contagious. Travail is contagious. Praise God. Many of you remember Eric Stokes, and some of you, he might have taught you Sunday school when you were just a little one, and they were here for quite a period of time. But Eric's dad was my brother-in-law, and he was an old hard, he was an electrical supervisor from Exxon, from the refinery there in Baton Rouge. And you know, if you've worked those jobs, you kind of know how they are. It's a hard-living crowd and hard-hearted crowd and a thoroughly masculine crowd, and so there's a lot on the line, and you got to be a man's man if you're leading men in an industrial context. And so he is all of that. And finally, one day, my sister got him to come to church. She had been baptized. She had gotten the Holy Ghost. She got him to come to church, and he's sitting back in the back. My home church didn't really worship God with great liberty every service. They'd clap their hands. They'd lift their hands, but they were still reactionary from that business in the late 50s called the latter rain, and they were bogged down in a lot of traditional ideas about worship is what God does to you. Shouting is what God does to you, rather than it's what you do as unto God. So they were kind of conflicted about all that, and they didn't have a really good, healthy flow of worship in every service. But every now and then, like on Sunday nights, always on Sunday nights, never on a Wednesday night. Something magical about Sunday nights. They would just have a blowout. I mean, the choir would start shouting, and the musicians would start shouting, and they did wild, unrestricted, crazy shouting. They'd knock things over and fall all over everything and slap you upside the head, and they would just have themselves a time and lose themselves in the Holy Ghost. And I'm not against it. Just don't hit me, hit somebody else. And if you kick a hole in the wall, fix it. You understand? Now, if you're a visitor here tonight, I'm talking about internal baseball here. And a lot of this you may not appreciate nor understand. But anyway, Paul Stokes is sitting in the back of the church, and he's a hard-hearted man, a hard-headed man, and the church just goes berserk. I mean, it starts up on the platform, and it flows out, and it's just, we didn't do jump music. We didn't have that, because we were all 3-4 time. It was like, boom, da-dum, 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 da-dum. So you get the picture. So you didn't have any music to help you shout. You just had to get out there in the barren wasteland and do it all by your lonesome. And so you get out there, and the whole church started shouting, and people were falling out, and folks were talking in tongues, and people were in the altar weeping, and it was contagious, and it moved all over the house. And I'm thinking, I sure wish Paul could have heard some preaching tonight, because when that happened, we never had preaching. It shut down the whole thing. It was just gone. That was all we were going to do. And you know how it is around here. You can do that all night if you want to. And then we're going to open the book. And we're still going to preach. So you just have yourself time. Go ahead. We're still going to handle the word of God. Praise God. 28 years, maybe 6 times we have not. And it just had to get really outrageous for that to happen. Anyway, I go back to him because I'm concerned. And I want to be his tour guide. I want to be his navigator. I want to help him to find his way through all this, because he was raised Methodist. He's never seen this before. And I mean, it was just going off. Things were coming out of ladies. They had those big hairdos, and things were coming out, flying out everywhere. Just amazing to behold. And I mean, it was just flying. Stuff was everywhere. And it was going on. And so I go back to him, and he's got his head down, and I'm thinking, I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know how this is affecting him. He lifted up his face. His face was wet with tears. He just was shaking. He was convulsing with crying. He said, "This is so beautiful." And I'm like, well, it is, isn't it? It's just absolutely beautiful. Who would have thunk it? Who could have known that that would have been his response? But you know what happened? It just started flowing. It started flowing out of the choir area, down through the pews and in the saints and in the people of God. And it flowed right down the aisle of where he was. And something bypassed his cognition. Something got down below the level of his tradition and his thought processes and came in like the Holy Ghost does in that internal man. Where he was hungry and he was lonely and he was in need and he was broken and he was looking for God and found him there and broke his heart. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost. I want you to know there are laws in the spirit. And one of them is that you can create an atmosphere and it affects everybody in the house. Another is that you can touch somebody and their life can be changed by the force, by the motive force of your worship and your praise. Praise God. We praise for a lot of reasons. We praise because God is good. We praise to enter into his gates. We praise because we have needs. We praise, but we praise for others, and we praise for atmosphere, and we praise that it make a river of living water flow out of the house of God and into the city and touch everybody in the city. Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Makes me want to worship God. Makes me want to worship God. Makes me want to lift him up. Makes me want to magnify his name. My God, there's just something about it when it starts moving. I'm not near about tired of the presence of God. Not in this house tonight. Not any time. And just when I think it might be time to wind down, I start feeling it all over again. And I want to go another round. I want to go another round worshiping, praising, magnifying God. Well, praise God. You see what I mean? It's affective. Worship is warfare, and it sets forth the power of God on our behalf. And so sometimes we worship to set the forces of God in an array against our enemies. Do any of you believe that and know that? Psalms 149 and verse 1. Everyone say, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Praise in the congregation of his saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. That's you. You are the children of Zion. Let them praise his name in the dance. Now you understand, you see that you have a mandate here to praise God, to allow the praise of God. And clapping your hands is praise. And lifting your hands is worship. And dancing before the Lord is praise. And that's not what God does to you. That's what you do as unto God. You don't have to wait for a moving of God. You can begin to praise and worship, and you will have a moving of God. You can instigate a moving of God. You can be the spark plug that sets it off. My God, don't tell me about dead church. You be a spark plug. You be a fire. You set it up. Oh my God, church is pretty dead tonight. What'd you do? I just sat there and I was dead with the rest of them. I learned to worship in a traditional church. And God had me take my big Thompson chain and dance on the platform and dance all around. And when I came to Alabama, you got to get this. They talk about old Elder Holmes in North Little Rock that started that little tiny struggling home missions church up there, which I think his steeple would cover this building. Isn't that awesome? But he had a big bass drum, and he had tied around his neck with a belt. And he'd just start beating it with a tambourine. Now, that's one of those people that traditional Pentecostals have a problem with. But wild-eyed worshipers love it when those folks get loose. And he'd beat on that thing. Now, you laugh at this tonight if you want, but you take a special trip. You drive to North Little Rock and just sit out in front of that big old honking church. And you tell me that a man with a bass drum and a tambourine can't build a church. Shut your mouth. And what he was doing, he was creating a dimensional shift, just like the king could have with striking the arrows on the ground. There is no linear, cognitive, rational connection between striking enemies, striking arrows on the ground, and conquering your enemies. But when he only tapped the ground three times, the prophet was irate with him and said, you could have totally consumed the Assyrians, but now you'll only defeat them three times. He had no idea. You can't tell sometimes how important it is what you're doing. But I will tell you that physical activity, just like it cracked up the walls around Jericho, physical activity can cause a dimensional shift where you are sitting and where you are worshiping. And that old man with that drum, and you know, acolytes of his that have gone off and started churches, they have a drum in their church. It sits right up front. And they bang on that drum. You say, well, what is that about? I don't know, friend, but it sure gets something moving in the Holy Ghost. I can't tell you. Anyway, I came to Alabama because God said to. And we went to camp meeting. Well, now, we were used to Louisiana camp meeting that was about 8,000 people and great music and good worship and people running the backs of the pews because it was camp meeting. Everything was on. They didn't have a revelation that you could do that every service, but you can. But it was great. It was great. And I came to Alabama camp meeting, and it was about 200 people if they were lucky, and it was in an old school building. And you know, I've had good church in a NEPA hut. I've had good church in barrio buildings. You can have good church anywhere, in a cow pasture, in a barn. You can have good church. This was not good church. This was like something I'd never seen in my life. And it was beyond description. It was antithetical to worship. And then after that, and some poor invited preacher sitting on the platform, he's about to have to preach in this. And an old brother got up and said, all right, who's going to join us for lunch tomorrow? I see your hand. We're having black-eyed peas and collard greens. And he's giving you the menu. He's giving you everything right in the middle of the worship service, right before the poor, uninformed guy that said, yes, I will preach at your. He came to preach, and he's about to have to preach over black-eyed peas and collard greens. He'd have been doing better in front of the tomb of Lazarus. I'm just telling you. I was there. And in that atmosphere, the Holy Ghost said, take up your Bible and do what I told you to do. I said, God, they don't do this here. I mean, they didn't do this at home, man. They ain't near about doing this here. He said, I want you to worship. And so it is psychological warfare. It is like getting beat with a radiator hose. It is, who do you think you are? What are you trying to do? Who do you think you're trying to impress? What is it that you're trying to accomplish? And I'm like Daffy Duck in the middle, and I'm just dancing, and I'm getting bap, bap, bap with the radiator hose, and it's just... It's like, God, when they told me about that old man with the drum, because he would go visit other churches and beat his drum. And they hated him in some places. But I had an affinity with him. I said, I know exactly what he felt like. I didn't have a drum. I wish I'd have had a drum and a tambourine. I just had my big black Bible, and I was worshiping God. And then when they moved out of that old building and they moved into their new building, it was still pretty dead. But I would run the aisles, and I would shout in there, and I would dance in there with my Bible. And it's... And we had ARC for almost 20 years. And we tried to communicate the concepts and the principles of worship in order to help those that had a heart for seeking after God with mixed results. Now, these are all very sweet people. These are good people. These are folks that I love. But they do not have a revelation of worship. It's a little better now. All of our young people can kind of relate to this. For a long, long time, the district board sat ensconced in power on the platform. And they ain't moved. You had to go check their pulse. It's a little better now because they've got a younger group there. I'm not throwing stones at these people gratuitously. I'm just trying to tell you that I had a mandate from God to come and to worship in a place where there was no revelation of worship. Now, I had a revelation. I loved God. I was already full of the Holy Ghost, and it was hard on me. Can you imagine a sinner feeling the presence of God in that place and trying to seek God? Everything about that deadness is antithetical to people coming to God, to receiving the Holy Ghost, to thriving in the Spirit. My God, you need to be a one woman or a one man campaign against dead church, against worshipless church. You need to be a poster boy or a poster girl for apostolic revival. You need to have a prayer life. You need to have a worship life. You need to be on fire for the things of God. It ought not be that you wait for somebody else. Don't wait for the music, because sometimes there won't be any music. Don't wait for somebody else, because someday there won't be somebody else. Get on this yourself. Be a worshiper. Be a worshiper. Be a worshiper. My God, let's take a praise break right now. Somebody just worship God. Somebody worship God. Magnify Him. Mighty God, we don't need no music. We've got the Holy Ghost and the promise of God. My sins have been washed away. My name is in the Lamb's book of life. My God, you believe what you want, but I'll tell you this, some alcoholic on the other side of town is feeling a goosebump right now. Some broken-hearted widow on the other side of town is feeling the touch of God on her life right now. You, by your worship, can touch somebody's life. Praise God. I want somebody that cannot drum. Somebody who is not a drummer. You're all drummers? No, you're all scared. Chicken, chicken, chicken. Chicken, chicken. KJ, are you a drummer? No. I want you to just go beat the bass drum for us. That's all you got to do. You can close your eyes. You can take a nap. You can do anything you want. Just do it. Oh, my goodness gracious. Give us something. Don't do that. Break the thing. Do it. Now, you may not know what that does, but it only does what it does in you. My God, let's have some worship in the house tonight. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. God, mighty God. Now, just stop right where you are. Just stop right where you are. And just stay there for a minute. We're in Psalms 149. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and with the harp. We got timbrels. Okay, we don't have any harps. But for the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. God likes it when you praise Him. He He will beautify the meek with salvation. When you praise God good, people start coming to God and they get the Holy Ghost and they get baptized and they're drawn to a relationship with God. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. That's their sick beds. That's their death beds. God is great no matter what your circumstance. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Listen at what you do when you worship. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron. Israel fought human enemies. We fight spiritual enemies. The principles are the same though. When they would begin to praise and magnify God, God set in 2 Chronicles, God set ambushments against their enemies and won them victories. They didn't have the power to win. Let me tell you what you can do. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. You may not know what to do, but if you're a worshiper, God knows what to do for you. To execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. You may not be able to sing, but you can worship. You may not be able to play an instrument, but you can worship. You may not have a check for $100,000 you can write to the church, but you can worship. You may not have the capacity to do some of the things that some of the people of God are blessed to do, but you can worship. You can worship if you're little. You can worship if you're old. You can worship if you're Sister Riggs. I love her. She's in the house of God tonight. She can't get up and run with you, but she can wave her hand and it thunders in the house when she does that. My God, somebody worship right now for all those that are not able to worship. God, mighty God, worthy God, holy God. Just stop right where you are. Stop right where you are. And when he had consulted with the people, we're in 2 Chronicles 20, 21. He appointed singers to the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. A lot of what we're saying tonight is within context. Jesus said, if you're going to worship, you got to worship. True worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. And here we praise, we worship in the beauty of holiness. You need to get this right. It matters to God how you come to him. When you first walk in the door, you can worship in any condition you're in. But after you've been here a little while, you need to begin to shape up in order to be in alignment with the word of God. Praise God. He appointed singers to the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. They didn't send the army. They sent the choir to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Everybody say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, to the uninitiated, they listen at this and they think, well, what does this do? Why are you involved in this? And when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. Now, even in this context tonight, some of you are worshiping, and it's fairly dry worship because you don't have the music. Music helps so much. It carries you. It builds the atmosphere, creates the ambience for you to worship. And that's wonderful. It's a part of God's plan. But here in this dry worship, even some of you wonder, what are we doing and why are we doing this and what is it accomplishing? I want you to understand that by the word of God, tonight somebody is having a miracle planted in their Tuesday. Somebody's having an enemy that's being addressed by the power of God. Somebody has an angel that just went down the path and they're waiting for you on Wednesday, and that angel's going to be there because the word of God said God sent forth angels and the angels did the heavy lifting and defeated all their enemies. My God, somebody with an enemy tonight, somebody with a problem tonight, somebody that's in need tonight, I want you to worship. I want you to lift up a voice and magnify God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I give you praise.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, musicians, come and help me. Real musicians. Today, I mean tonight, like now. Sister Bonnie, still in the house? Come on, help us tonight. Can you got another ounce or two? You can. Sister Bonnie's the hardest working woman in the Apostolic Church. Worship is exercising will and choice. Worship is believing the report of the Lord. Your worship says, I believe God and what God has said. Isaiah 53 begins, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord is revealed to the one that believes the report of God. And with all the burden of your trouble and the bad news and the letter you got in the mail and everything that's coming against you, you take that burden down into an altar and you lean back and you say, yep, I read it all, but I believe the report of the Lord. And by your worship, you say, I believe God. By your worship, you say God is right. By your worship, you say, I believe God is able. By your worship, you say, amen. I agree. I'm a part. I support everything that God is doing. Praise God. What do you think? Well, start. Just give us something right out. Just give us something right out of your heart, Sister Bonnie.
If God has been so good to you, you ought to stand up on your feet and praise him.
Come on.
You ought to praise the Lord. Somebody praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
If God has been so good to you, you ought to stand up on your feet and praise him. Come on and give God praise, yeah.
Somebody by the hand and praise and worship God.
If God has been so good to you, you ought to stand up on your feet and praise. Somebody praise the Lord. Come on and praise him. You ought to praise the Lord.
Praise him.
Come on and praise him.
You ought to stand up on your feet and praise him.
You ought to praise the Lord.
Praise him.
Come on and praise him. You ought to praise the Lord.
Stand up on your feet and praise.
You ought to praise him.
Praise.
Now we're doing it. We're clapping. We're singing. We're worshiping. We're doing, and it's a wonderful thing for you to do that. But those of you that know how, I want you to break out right now. I want you to just let the shell fall off. I want you to let the Holy Ghost just break forth and do what he wants to do with you right now. Those of you that know how to get there, I want you to go there right now. Those of you that don't, you just come along for the ride. Somebody break open and travail. Somebody break up in the spirit. We'll be right back. Okay. I told myself we're going to stop right at 8:30. I'm 3 minutes past. I want you right now. I just want you to let that Holy Ghost that's in you. I want you to let it come to critical mass. I want you to let it boil over, break out, break forth. Let it break forth. It'll drive away every lie, every hint. Let it break forth. Let it break forth. Let it break forth. Let it break forth.